What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Left on his deal. And he's like almost untradeable at that point. Did that cross your mind at all as you were watching all these deals go down yesterday?
Well, there's that one was interesting because I think one of the big issues was just the money. Like I think the Twins had to eat, was it $50 million?
Yeah, I think he's got 105, whatever it is. He's got a 100 left.
Yeah, so they had to just eat money for a player that they didn't get much out of. And that was a fire sale. The Twins completely sold just about everything they had. And Ryan was someone they didn't have to deal because he's under team control. But, some of those moves that the Giants either missed out on or didn't make, look, in a couple years, you might be looking at some of the guys on your own team like that.
Sure.
I mean, Adamas, Devers, Chapman, these are all guys on long-term deals. Chapman's the oldest of the three. But, you hope... Like, what Carlos Correa was yesterday for the Twins is what you hope never happens to an Albatross contract.
You hope that does not become the Rafi Devers deal.
Yes. Yeah, and, I have to assume that at least you're going to get a couple more years of good play. Because, yeah. Correa, the moment Correa signed, I think he's had one good year with Minnesota.
I mean, you look at it, he's missed a lot of time, and he's underperformed. The power numbers aren't what they were.
He's always been injury prone.
Yeah, and the team did have success, and down the stretch, he was good for them in, was it the year they went to the playoffs, 2024? Whatever year it was, he was a good player down the stretch for them, but overall, his numbers have been deflated since leaving Houston. He has not been the same player.
No, and of course he's going to go back, and I bet he's going to be awesome.
Of course he is. Well, him and Altuve will be stealing signs again.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
Well, they'll also probably be competing for a World Series, which absolutely pisses me off. The other thing, too, it's like, what? All right, so one of the things that did hit me about the collection of players that they got, so Tidwell and Gilbert from the Mets, Rodriguez and Vreeland from the Yankees, and even a couple throwaways, guys. Three of those guys are AAA players. Vreeland is 24. He's kind of been pushed up against the AA wall. But I did think it was interesting that Posey identified, and Manazian as well, they identified players that are close to or ready-made. And I did think that that was something that was purposeful, which also indicates to me that Posey is... He's not looking for a long sort of rebuild. Otherwise, I think they might have been able to get players that are younger or identified guys in single A or rookie ball. But that's not something I believe they're interested in. I think they were looking at the deadline for guys that either can come up. Who knows? Someone like Yaz might have been moved because they think that Gilbert is pretty close to getting to the show. And we got to build some at-bats for him. Tidwell has already gotten and broken through into the major leagues. That's someone who can help your rotation.
These are names that nobody knows. I'm just being real.
You're going to know them soon.
No, I know, but most Giants fans, on acquiring them, nobody knows. But I love how we freak out, and not myself included. It's this ranking and that ranking. What position, forget the player, forget their ranking, what position was the most they acquired that position?
Catcher.
Why?
Because that player can actually hit, and Patrick Bailey is someone that we have a lot of questions about. I mean, I think like that.
I'm with you in lockstep.
That's the quote unquote centerpiece of that deal for Duvall. Jesus Rodriguez,
I agree,
is a catching prospect from the Yankees who has hit 300 at pretty much every single level that he's gotten to.
His stance is pretty interesting.
He's got an 850 OPS. He hits the ball hard. And he's somebody that I do think that Posey, along with Manazian, looked at and said, you know what? Let's see. Because Patrick Bailey has given us virtually nothing at the plate since he's gotten to the show.
Yeah. To me, I'm in the same agreement as you. Getting a catcher was, I thought it was paramount in the draft, and I didn't think that they drafted enough of that position. And I think getting this guy signals, like, all right, you're on notice, Pat Bailey. We can't go into next year with Kisner, and I think Kisner's been serviceable. He's been fine. We can't go into this year with Pat Bailey and Kisner. We have to be better than that.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Well, let's hear from the general manager of the Giants, who broke down all the prospects they got yesterday. If you're wondering who these guys are, some of their tools, here's Zach Manazian.
Blake Tidwell and Drew Gilbert, both highly regarded, high draft picks within the past couple of years. So Tidwell's got a big arm, plus breaking ball. Gilbert, left-handed hitter, plus defender, plays with an edge. Two players that we've had interest in since they were draft eligible. So, pretty excited about them. Jesus Rodriguez, catcher we got back from the Yankees. AAA, swing the bat, can really throw, athletic enough to move around the field. And we think he can be a quality defensive catcher. Parks Harbor is a hitter that we got, one of the better performers in minor league baseball this year after being a non-drafted free agent. Tristan Vreeling was another higher draft pick out of Gonzaga with a good arm, pitched up to AA. Velocity's been trending up. Carlos De La Rosa is a young left-hander, another person, arm strength. We think there's some upside there. And in the Yaz deal, we're excited to get back Junior Marte, young pitcher. In low A, having a great year, 2.70 ERA, big body, 6'5", arm strength.
So that's just a quick synopsis of all those players. But again, the theme, I think, again, is he's trying to find guys that are going to push some of his current roster either to a higher level or potentially out.
What a name, Parks Harbor.
He's hitting 320.
I know. I think he was an SEC guy and then transferred ACC. But
wouldn't it be kind of nice if he parked a couple in the harbor here?
You took my joke.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Great minds think alike.
It's an incredible name, is it not?
It is.
Parks Harbor.
It's a great baseball name.
I mean, like if Madden gave me that name as a creative player name, I would draft that guy. 100%.
You got Parks Harbor. You got Blade Tidwell.
Blade Tidwell. I love these names.
Blade.
I'll give you my
baseball
favorite.
Doesn't have enough of anymore.
No,
great,
they don't.
Great names.
One guy that I was all in on, he never ended up materializing. Like Tank Carradine. The name Tank Carradine was just a great name. It was a great name. You're a football player. Tank Carradine. No?
Oh, man, that's one of the reasons I wanted Scataboo.
Scataboo?
I mean, Scataboo is just a great name for a running back.
It's a great, yes.
He's looking pretty elusive.
Oh, God, I love some of these names. These are great. No, you're 100% right about picking up somebody who is a little more ready-made and ready to go. I also think that speaks to how bad their AAA and AA, like just lineups,
yeah,
are, and there aren't a lot of reinforcements to help them at the big league level. So I think they did what they needed to do, and although it stinks in terms of the big picture, it was necessary. I don't understand, like, I didn't think Verlander was going to get them anything, and I know you're trying to do right by him, but like, who wants Verlander? He only was, had a couple of decent starts. Who's really, like, jumping over themselves to acquire him right now? I didn't think that was a plausible thing that could happen, them dumping him. Maybe they try to throw him on waivers or something. I don't know. We'll see.
No, but, I mean, it's like the starting pitching market was pretty barren. And to the point where it's like, think it was Bailey Falter, the guy who carved up the Giants the other day for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Like, that might have been one of the more under-the-radar moves and acquisitions by the Royals. The biggest name that left yesterday was Merrill Kelly, going from the Diamondbacks to the Rangers, who believe they have action. And even the Padres picking up in the Miller deal, middle-of-the-pack starter like J.P. Sears. Did you think anything about, or did you feel some type of way when you saw... The San Diego Padres, a team that is not the best in the division, acquire Mason Miller, J.P. Sears, and then go out and get Ramon Laureano, Ryan O'Hearn, and by the way, a catcher. Like, they got basically everything they didn't have.
They are so aggressive.
And they kept Cease.
But why have they been able to be so aggressive? Like, they've dealed and wheeled and wheeled and dealed for like five straight years. I looked at this. These are AJ Preller trades.
I was going to say, did you see the list of players that he has dealt away?
It is incredible. Trey Turner, James Wood, Max Fried, Josh Naylor, Andres Munoz, Mackenzie Gore, David Bednar, CJ Abrams, Xavier Edwards, Hunter Renfroe, this guy that the A's acquired, this 18-year-old that everyone's talking about, River Ryan, DeVries, Robbie Snell. Yeah. I mean, it is like a who's who of the top dudes that would want to be available over the last couple of years in terms of prospects. It's wild.
Someone take that guy's Amex card. Like, someone take his credit card, because he's going to max it out at some point. And like, the fact that he's able to just continue to throw all of these prospects at the wind. Number one, you have to respect it, because
they have the prospects.
They're going for it.
That to me is the most fascinating thing. Is your organization has had all of these prospects, so they've been really good at identifying and developing. But keep going.
No. I mean, look, it also means they've got a great scouting department.
Yes.
I mean, and that's why, as much as like I hear people that say, look, you gotta trade guys to get pieces to rebuild. It's like, the best organizations are competitive, and they continue to draft and develop well. The Padres go to various Latin countries. They identify guys in the draft. They hit on all their dudes for the most part, and their system has been upstanding for, God, the last 10 years, since basically that list of players started with Trey Turner.
That's incredible.
It's unbelievable. And that's how they're able to. And you know, the part that always frustrates me too, if I'm looking at it from another organization, is they know which ones to keep. They didn't trade Tatis.
No.
They didn't trade Merrill. They didn't trade a few of these guys that have come along to be superstars or look like they have the potential to be superstars. And yet, they still have enough in the coffers to move off of a DeVries, to move off of anybody on that list, to go out and get the players they need.
Well, I think they've also done a good job picking the right guys in free agency who will go there. You know, getting Machado was huge. I know the Bogaerts deal doesn't look good today at all.
No.
There was a time when I remember they paid for Hosmer, and everyone thought that was just the craziest overpay of all time. Getting Machado was... That was a boon for them, because I do think you don't get Machado. A lot of this looks like, you know, Machado's been awesome.
Well, that was their... You know, like the first guy to fall. Like,
yeah, that was the first planting
of the
flag.
Big free agent they acquired, and Machado has been everything that they could have hoped for. And that's why I think someone like Buster Posey, not at the same level, but he's like, I got to be able to go get an Adamas to show that I have money that people will take. I have to trade for Rafael Devers and acquire this big money, because that will show that we're legitimate. And the trade deadline, they sold. But I also don't think, and this is where I want to go next, I also don't think that Posey is... I don't think they've thrown in the towel yet, and I can't necessarily figure out why. We also got training camp news coming up in just a little bit. Bobby Evans at 8 o'clock with the San Francisco Giants. Bonte Hill at 9. All coming up on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Evan Giddings in for Joe Spadoni. Joe Shasky back after this.
Blade, dude. I love these names.
Allow me the pleasure of introducing you to Blade. Laser. Blazer.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. That's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
You sip your tea vigorously.
You know, Shasky, it has been fun hanging out with you for the last couple of days. And I do feel like one thing about the morning show that by the time that you and I generally are done, like Spin will be back Monday, I feel like I finally get into a rhythm. Like yesterday, I was, all right, God, by the end of the show, I woke up at 3:30 and I'm in early and I'm just like, I'm all over the place. My body's all off.
Uh-huh.
Now I kind of feel like I'm just starting to get into that rhythm. And by the third day, I think I would be right there as maybe not as energized as you when you get in the morning. But I'm starting to build the rhythm over time. And now I got to just cut it off and go right back to my normal cycle. How do you do it?
Everyone thinks that this is, I'm going to tell you the truth. Doing this for 6 years. The difference between waking up at 3:30 and 4:30 is monumental. The difference between waking up at 4 and 5 is light years. Light years. Everybody, it's easy to wake up. No, it's not. No, it is not. And it's not about doing it for a couple days or even a week. Try doing it for years on end. I've done it for 6 straight years. And I know there's plenty that have done it for 20, 25 years in the market. And there is an obsession and a craziness, and the amount of years I've shaved off the back end of my life, I can't even imagine.
Well, hopefully not too many, buddy, because we want you to stick around. But it's taken you time to evolve into the kind of person you are. I also think that, to bring it back to the deadline, this is one of the first sort of evolutionary steps we're seeing Buster Posey take. Like, he's been resigned to becoming a seller. The Giants have been resigned to selling. But that's a part of the game. Like, I don't know if Posey, like, I do wonder how easy, or not easy, but how difficult he thought this season was going to be. Like, they were on a roll. He goes out and gets a bat, something they've never had before. And he probably thought at that point, like, all right, I know what I'm doing. And that's where baseball to me is different than every other sport, because it will humble you so fast.
Sure.
And that's what happened to the Giants. And I think that's what I'm hearing from Buster Posey.
Do you think that when he took over the job last year in late September, you think he didn't realize this was a multi-year like build up?
No, I think he did.
Okay.
But like many of us, it's a results-based business. And the first, like the immediate returns were, oh, we might actually be ahead of schedule. You know, I'm expecting my package to get here in a month, and it looks like it's going to show up in 2 weeks. And then it gets delayed because we got issues in customs. And then it gets delayed even more. And now I'm wondering where if my package is even going to get here at all, to the point where I got to pivot. I got to go out and buy something at the store because my package ain't coming. Like, and that's where I think Posey got eventually to at this deadline. Like, do I want to sell? I don't think Posey wanted to sell.
No.
Even maybe a week ago. But he knew it was the right thing to do. And that's the kind of the frustrating truth about where they're at.
I also think the clarity for the rest of the roster is, you know, perform or you're gone. I mean, we've kind of like figured that out. And even if you do perform, but you're not in the cards long term, you know, like you will be taken care of. You know, Duvall's going to the Yankees. He's going to get a great opportunity to win. Tyler Rogers is going to the Mets. He's going to get a great opportunity to win.
I am a little worried about Camilo at Yankee Stadium.
You know where this Camilo thing plays out, right?
I do wonder how he's going to handle the Bronx lights.
It's one of two things. It's incredible or awful.
Yeah.
There's like no in between.
Dude, he...
Right?
Like eventually he's going to have a bad game. And I just, he's going to get booed so hard off that. Like, I remember the first time that Sonny Gray got booed at Yankee Stadium, and he got flack for it because he went off the mound and he was smiling. He was kind of chuckling. And he said it was because he'd just never been booed before. Huh. Like, he's playing in Oakland in front of 5,000 fans, and even during the playoffs, the atmosphere is different. But he goes to Yankee Stadium and gets shelled, and he's like, dude, I was not ready for what the Yankees fans were bringing. And Duvall, he's had rabbit ears in the past. Like, he can get his own head.
You ever bombed on stage?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know about like a stage, but I've had embarrassing moments on the mound for sure.
No, I'm talking about like, and when you're performing on stage in front of like,
oh yes,
not playing well, and there's like 15 people in the stands is not the same as bombing. Like, because I consider bombing on stage means it's a packed room full of people, whatever, gymnasium, a stage, whatever the circus is, and you're there, and the spotlight is on you because that's the equivalent of walking off Yankee Stadium getting booed. I've had a few opportunities where I'm, performing, emceeing, whatever, and you just know it's not going well, and you gotta have thick skin. You just gotta keep moving. You just gotta keep doing it, and it's an uneasy, filled with anxiety moment. It's bad.
It's bad. It's gonna be tough for him.
It's bad.
It is gonna be tough. Now he doesn't have to close for them, but gosh, I guess like I'm tempering expectations because I can just see Yankees fans eating him alive. I just can't. It's gonna be tough for him.
The worst thing when you are bombing in any individual thing is when you hyper focus on one person who might be criticizing you or doing something body language wise. That's when it irritates you the most. If it's just white noise and you're just trying to keep it moving, it's all good. When you focus, Carter's nodding his head. He agrees with me. When you focus on one person or one thing, it could totally ruin you. I don't know. Again, you just, if you've ever been on stage and bombed in anything, it's a horribly, horribly low feeling.
Well, that's like a trick that I learned because I have a lot of anxiety. A trick that someone told me when I was younger, if you want to maintain eye contact,
oh,
don't actually look them in the eye. Like, look right in between their eyes or at their kind of their forehead. Oh. In that way, you can, it's like a mental block.
Interesting.
You're just trying to get over.
I was thinking weed would help the anxiety.
No, weed can actually make it significantly worse.
Nah, for me, it always calmed me down and like put me in the zone.
Depends on the strain.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah, my paranoia can go out.
Anxiety is something we all suffer from, varying degrees of it. This is a big time stressor for me on a variety of levels.
That's probably why I drink so much coffee. Just trying.
Well, that's the ADD for me.
Simmer me down. All right, coming up this afternoon at 4:30, the Valkyries take on the Chicago Sky. You can hear the game on the Valkyries channel on the Odyssey app. Just download the app and search Valkyries, brought to you by the San Francisco Sheriff's Office. Your future begins here. Well, one thing we haven't really gotten into, Shasky, is whether or not it was a miss on Robbie Ray. And here's what Buster Posey talked about. This is kind of what you mentioned earlier. Why they didn't deal Robbie Ray.
Robbie's been great this year. Again, pitching and defense wins. Feel good about him going into the season next year. Yeah, there were some calls, but I mean, we would have had to have been blown out of the water. We obviously didn't get there.
So the first thing I want to ask you is, do you think that they should have tried to trade him? Because it sounds like they didn't get the offer they wanted, but he was not someone they were going to budge on. No. Meanwhile, I think Duvall was someone they were willing to.
I think they took the right tact. I think the you know, open it up, see what you can get. If you don't like it, close shop. You know what I mean? Like, it's all good. I think that's what you should do in this circumstance. If he was 28 or 29 or 30, I'm not viewing it the same way. He's 33. And because of, you know, just the nature of pitching, how any throw can be your, you know, put you on the shelf for a year and a half. Like, I think you owe it to yourself to just see what that individual might be able to net you, given where he's at in his career, contract-wise, et cetera. So, no, I thought it was the exact right mode. Now, Wilmer Flores, I view different than Robbie Ray. Wilmer Flores, to me, we kind of know that he's not going to be on the team next year.
Yeah.
We kind of know that he's a redundant player to the skill sets that are already currently on the team. We kind of know he can't really play defense. So, to me, that was one that it was just head-scratching that they didn't just... And dump isn't the appropriate word, because I don't know if you dump a Wilmer Flores, hypothetically, but find a home for him for something that maybe isn't the most glamorous return. That one was the most surprising, I think, of yesterday.
Wilmer?
Yeah. I don't think JV had a big market, Verlander. And I think Robbie Ray, they would have needed to be blown away, and maybe they just didn't get that offer. Just Wilmer, like, What are we going to do there?
I think it signals that Eldridge is not as far along as we think. Because I think if he was, he would feel fine with Wilmer Flores moving on. Maybe you bring up, a corner infielder to just grab a couple DH spots in the meantime. And then you see Eldridge in a couple of weeks or a month. I mean, that's how I think it goes. But, you know, I also think it's because... Like the guys they got rid of were kind of ancillary. Like Yaz, as fine of a player as he is, he's not. I didn't view him as an everyday guy.
I mean, he played probably the fourth or fifth most amount of games on the team.
But like he wasn't someone that I viewed as, I guess, integral to their success. He's a really good right fielder, had some moments, but at the plate left a lot of, I don't know, for me, wanting like a lot of players. I just think that like the tone of Posey was almost sort of like reluctant to concede defeat. Like I don't think that this team is giving up. And I don't think that Buster Posey, I think he wanted to use the deadline to get some pieces back. And look, in their system now, they acquired, it's a 12, 13, 16, and like 24th ranked prospect. So they replenished the farm a little bit. But I also... It signals to me that Posey doesn't believe this team is that far away. And that might be that might be foolish. I don't know how far they are. But I also think that he's still not willing to completely concede.
Nor should they. And I think every individual on this team has something to play for. You know, Willy Adames finished the year out on a high note. Don't just give me one great month. Like, I want to see him finish the season out on a high note. Matt Chapman, stay healthy, finish the season on a high note. Raffy Devers, can you just get like a... Can we get 3 weeks of hot Raffy? Boy, I'd feel a lot better, right? And then I look at all the young guys that are vying for time. Pat Bailey, let's see it. Like, let's see it, dude, because your job is up for grabs. Casey Schmidt, you want to be the second baseman of this team next year? You've got to earn it. You've had a nice little season. Like, if you look at his numbers, he's had a nice year. But you've got to finish it out, right? And then I look at Elliot Ramos. I'd like to see him bounce back here in this second half in terms of the mental mistakes, right? Jung-Hoo Lee, jury's still out on you as an everyday player for a full season. It just is. Right field, open competition. Who wants it? Hayden Birdsong, you going to get called back up in the final couple months? Lane and Roop, can you finish out the year? Because you only have like 110 or whatever career innings pitch. That's your high.
Yep.
Like, I want to see you finish out the year on a high note. And then there's so many other guys that we could reference in terms of, you know, minor leaguers getting opportunities to come up. And then I look at the coaching staff. I think you're on notice too. I think you've got a lot to play for. So this thing, and I'm not saying you're saying it, but I think from some Giants fans, season's over. No, it's not. No, it's not. A lot of guys have a lot of things to play for.
Well, and that's why, I hear Posey as like a guy who does, he's not willing to accept defeat. And I think that's a good quality. Like, he's somebody who expects to win. And that's why the rest of the way, that even though the Giants are in all probability not going to make the postseason, yeah, you still got to bust your ass every single day. Like, that's mm-hmm. the expectation. And if you don't, well, now there's some guys that they just acquired at the deadline that could take your spot and that are going to challenge potentially going into next season. I think that Posey is, like, he, in a way, last year was, you know, September. He came in to kind of survey the land, evaluate things. The last 2 months of this season, I do believe Buster Posey is back to being in evaluation mode.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. And like, not just the players. I think you're completely right. I think the coaching staff has to be under a microscope. And because if you don't believe that they can turn this thing around, well, then they might not be the people for you next year.
100%. If you're just looking at roster, what's open? What right now, for the rest of the year, right field's wide open. Who's going to take it? Right?
Yep.
Okay. I think catcher's open. Now, Bailey, it's either Bailey can prove that he belongs or prove that he doesn't belong.
Well, but Bailey could be your backup. I mean, the starting spot, I think, absolutely
starting
next season.
Starting spot's up in the air for me. Would you agree?
Sure.
Okay. I think second base.
Well, I would hope. I would hope.
I think second base is still up in the air. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's fair.
And even though Casey's had a nice little run here, I think we learned our lesson from Tyler Fitzgerald. You can't have just a couple of good months. You gotta finish, you know? And even then, do it again next year, right? I think closer role is completely up in the air.
It is now.
Who wants to grab it? Setup man is up in the air. Who wants to grab it? So in a hypothetical, let's say Ryan Walker gets an opportunity to close before Randy Rodriguez because they just don't think Randy's ready yet. Well, Randy has an opportunity to solidify himself as the setup man mm-hmm. if he can't be the closer, right? So there's kind of a domino effect between those two. And then I look at starting pitching. Two, maybe three spots up in the air. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep.
Right? There's a lot to play for. And then you get back to the manager. I think he is managing for his job. I think the staff is managing for their position simultaneously. Pat Burrell is a hitting coach, Matt Williams at third, and all the different guys they have on the staff. I think it's all up in the air right now. So, I mean, I just rattled off seven things that this team has to play for. And that doesn't include guys on big deals who need to continue to earn those deals.
Like, I'll say this. I do think that Bob Melvin is going to be back next year just because I don't see how this team can continue to play at this awful of a level. But if they do, then yeah, you have to think about what's next. Like,
100%.
I think what I'm looking for is a couple things. Yes, all those positions you talked about, you'd like to see some guys, maybe it's a Wizen Hunt, maybe it's someone else in the minor leagues come through and try at least grab the 4 and 5 spot in the rotation and give you some idea going into next year. But really what I want to see, because I'm going to be honest, I don't think we've seen it at all this year.
What's that?
Chapman, Adames, and Devers all playing well at the same time.
I've been asking for this for weeks.
No, like seriously, like, this is your core, this is your big three. Can we get all three of these guys on the same page at the same time? Hey. One of them has been good,
yeah,
or two of them have been mm-hmm. good. All three of them have not been the dudes they were paid to be so far this year, and that's a big reason why your offense has been so mid.
I wonder, you know, as you bring that up, like Chapman was getting red hot right before he got hurt.
Yeah.
Okay, he was. And then Adames got hot right after they picked up Devers. I just wonder, if the Chapman injury doesn't go down, and they're a couple games better than what they are right now, would that have been a good thing or a bad thing to be buying on this team? Would this have been fool's gold, or would this team have been worth it, or would just everything feel different and so you'd be forced to go all in and it would have been the right move?
Well, real quick before I answer that, I want to remind people we got Bobby Evans, former general manager of the San Francisco Giants, currently in an advisory role with the Giants, coming up at 8 o'clock. Bonte Hill live from 49ers training camp at 9 o'clock, all right here on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? We do have some Niners stuff coming up. Got to talk about Trey Lance last night in the Hall of Fame game. But what I'll say to that is we were kicking this around last night. I almost feel like the Chapman injury could have been a blessing in disguise because this team clearly has, we just went through them, a lot of holes. A lot of holes. And in a way, if Chapman had remained healthy, let's say you're 3 or 4 games above 500, but you're still kind of sputtering a bit, Buster Posey might have bought at the deadline. Like, in a way, the Chapman injury, along with, you could argue, the Roop injury, You could argue a couple of other guys beginning to regress kind of forced you into a position that maybe you were supposed to be in, I guess. It highlighted some of the flaws on your team that you needed and were going to have to eventually address. So some might look at it and say, yeah, that sucks. Chapman's red hot. We could have kept playing well. I could also take the other side and sort of what we batted around yesterday and saying, maybe it's a good thing. Like, maybe the Giants, this is a season where you had to take your lumps. It's the first year of the Buster Posey regime. I'm sorry, I did not expect this team to win a World Series.
No.
That's not how it goes, especially when your team the last few years has been about 500.
Even if they would have gotten into a five-game series, that would have been a pretty great year, I think, for almost all Giants fans. Would it have not?
Well, it would have been awesome. I mean, it would have been 4 years since the playoffs.
Right. It would have been a great year, I think. So, no, I think that's the perspective you have to have. And I think as the season went on and you start to realize, like, oh, okay, they're not as good as we thought they were. And certain things aren't sustainable. You know, the guy that I don't think we talked enough about the last couple of weeks, like Hayden Birdsong, can this guy bounce back? You know, can he bounce back? Can they figure him out? Can they figure out whatever's ailing him mentally, physically, mechanic-wise, in the same way they did Camilo Doval from 1 year to the other? But can they do it over this little stretch here, really coming up here? Like, can they figure this thing out? One of the things people have forgotten about from the 2010 run, Bumgarner had lost his way mechanic-wise in the playoffs. He was awful. Like, awful in the 2010 playoffs in terms of his mechanics and everything, and mentally. And they got him right toward the end, and he had that huge game, obviously, against the Rangers. Game four, Sammy, off the top of my head. Game four, they got him right. And it was one of the... yes, Carter?
Sam's not here.
Oh, my bad.
Thanks, Sam.
It was the hallmark of Dave Righetti and Bruce Bochy and their ability to get people right who were scuffling mentally or physically. And, like, again, that's like one of the greatest examples of all time. But they need to kind of figure out what's wrong with him, because he had no confidence. It looked like his mechanics were off. He couldn't throw a strike on command. And he looked awful, quite frankly.
I think we will see him back this year. I think that Hayden Birdsong's place for now, and maybe in the future, is in the bullpen. That's where he was at the beginning of this year when he was really, really good. I also think that that's one of the reasons why you didn't mind moving a Rodgers and Doval, mainly a Doval, because, like, you can always find bullpen help. The Giants have done, sure, they haven't done a lot of things great in the last few years, but they have found ways to develop serviceable, if not sometimes elite, bullpen arms. Ryan Walker on line one. Tyler Rogers on line two. Reyna Rodriguez is homegrown. Doval is as well. Like, they have found quality bullpen guys, and I don't think it's crazy to look at Birdsong and say, all right, yeah, you're a little bit erratic, but you got some great stuff. Let's get you in one inning, maybe two innings, and see what you can do at the back end of this bullpen that's going to need some help anyways.
Yeah, there's other guys that they've traded over the last couple of years that people kind of forgotten about now. But, like, Will Smith was a great acquisition and was a good player for you. Remember him?
Yeah.
I know he's a one-pitch guy, but, like...
Jake McGee.
Jake. You're so right. But that they found a lot of different arms in that bullpen that have contributed and been good. Like, this year, the guy that's actually been significantly better than anyone wants to give credit to... Lucchese, he's been awesome. Like, he's been really good for them this year.
And you got Eric Miller coming back.
That injury scares me.
Yeah, elbows are always tough.
Yeah, but you're not wrong. Like, I think that they've got some intriguing opportunities here. Randy Rodriguez is the one for me. Like, I wonder what they do with him. Does he go setup man and they go Ryan Walker in the closer spot to kind of start? Or do they just go, hey, we're going to do baptism by fire and we're going to throw Randy Rodriguez in there and we're going to keep Ryan Walker in the eighth inning? I think most Giants fans would say Ryan Walker's not a closer. He would be a nice setup man and Randy would be your guy, but maybe Randy's just not ready for that yet.
I mean, a lot of people didn't think Sergio Romo could be a closer either. He was just a great setup guy, and he turned out to be solid. But here's Zach Manassian yesterday.
Santiago Casilla as well. That's a good call.
On how they filled Duvall's role.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of maintain the same stance. We want Bob and the coaching staff when it comes to the lineup day-to-day and on on how we do that. Certainly feel like we have some pretty good in-house potential replacements with Randy's been great. Ryan Walker's pitched in that closer role before. So feel like we have some pretty good options there.
And that's the other part about it too. It's like, I know that you want to win, you go out, you want to go out there and compete. What yesterday signaled is there's not as much pressure on you anymore. And I do wonder how guys are going to play now that they saw their front office not give up, but essentially say, look, guys, if you want to make a run, it's going to be on you. But yeah, if you don't, we're kind of prepared for that. Like, that's why we made the moves that we made, because we're prepared for this team to not see October.
Yes. I think that's the appropriate tack that they needed to take. If you were to rank who's on the team right now, youngsters, who's the last 2 months the most important for now, given the moves that they've made? Wiz and Hunt. I know Birdsong's still in AAA right now, but I'm just going to throw, I'll lump some of these.
The young guys.
Okay. Luciano, Wiz and Hunt, Birdsong, Matos, Grant McRae. I believe McRae's coming up. Sounds like they bought out his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Casey Schmidt, Patrick Bailey. Who are like the top two guys that you think the next 2 months are the most important for next year as well? Like, as in, what they do in these final 2 months is really going to make or break how you view them for next year.
Well, I think the most important young player they have is Elliot Ramos.
All right.
Like, that's a guy that I need to mentally, not physically, like mentally figure it out the yeah. next 2 months. Because I think that he's their most impactful bat of their, like, younger core. But of the rest of the guys, I'm looking around, and I am looking towards the bullpen. I would say Randy Rodriguez would be at the top of my list. I would like to see if he can establish himself as the closer of this team for the foreseeable future. Although, to be fair, a lot of guys don't really develop into closers immediately. It takes them a couple of years.
I went down this long rabbit hole when Duvall first came up of Hoffman, Wetland, Rivera, Lee Smith. Like, just pick whoever you want as a closer, who you think is one of like the top. Almost all of them didn't have their first 40 save season until they were 27, 28. Now,
Francisco Rodriguez didn't take over as a closer till year four.
Yes.
With
Trent Percival.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the setup guy.
Yeah. I mean, dude, Frankie Rodriguez is ridiculous. But it was also, back then, it wasn't as specialized as it is now. You know, for a lot of the, like Lee Smith and guys like that. But no, the point that I'm getting at is a lot of these guys, you know, cut their teeth as setup men or as seventh inning guys before they get that closer role.
Yeah. I mean, so from there, to me, Ramos and Rodriguez would be the top of my list. The next guy, I got to figure out if he's in my long-term plans. It's Patrick Bailey. I have to figure out if I can get something from the bat. Because what he's done since he's gotten to the major leagues at the plate, and I know that he had a couple of good months. I think it was last season, the beginning of the year. But he's a career .226 hitter with a .618 OPS. That's awful. Like, that is... And it'd be different if you had any sort of pop. His career high in home runs is 8. You cannot be a catcher that doesn't hit and doesn't hit for power. Like, you cannot be a one-tool starting catcher. That's probably, to me, the guy that I'm looking at and trying to figure out if I can get anything from him. Because if you don't think that he's going to be a big league hitter or have any sort of power behind home plate, I'm sorry. Like, that profiles to me as a backup catcher.
100%. But that'd be another wasted top 15 pick. It's just, it's frustrating. He doesn't drive the ball at all. He slaps it the other way. He's switch hitter, so he's got two different swings going on right now. So there's a variety of things. Like, there's plate discipline.
And maybe the guy they got from the Yankees is supposed to be the answer, Rodriguez. But I also have to figure out if he's going to come up and be a dude.
To be determined.
Yeah.
But Pat Bailey, like, if you're asking me now, I think they've already made the decision on Pat Bailey. I think they have enough evidence on him. I don't think that they think he's going to all of a sudden turn it around. It's not like the Ramos situation where he came up for a couple weeks, went down, you know, was in AAA. Like, they've seen him at the big league level. They've been with him every day, 3 years now. I think they've got a feel for what he is.
Well, I think we all quietly know what he is. We're just hoping that he turns into something else.
Not good enough.
Now, the other guy that you gotta, and maybe pressure is no longer on his shoulders. And look, the last couple of months, he can just kind of play like himself, get back to being his old self. It's Devers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of the elephant in the room of when this guy is going to be able to start playing like the guy we expected when they traded for him. A player that's an 850, 900 OPS, a player that's, again, advertised as a top 10 hitter in baseball, is advertised as a threat in the middle of your order, is advertised as all these things that, quite frankly, we've seen for 2 days.
In Atlanta.
Those were the only 2 days that we have seen Devers really do the damage that we were kind of promised when they traded for him.
Yeah, I still think he's a really good player, but his discipline is just all over the map. He will get down 0-2 and then foul off a bunch of pitches, work the count to 3-2, and then roll over to first base. And it's a great at-bat. Like, you're like, wow. Like, a lot of other guys would have been, you know, been out meagerly after 3 or 4 pitches here, but he's just not driving the ball the way that he needs to, and it just feels like, I feel like he's trying to win it all back in terms of fan love and his status and everything with one swing. And it's not about one swing. It's about 2-3 weeks of being a good player and just being a little more discerning at the plate. Patience for me is important with him.
Hey, Devers, or pardon me, Posey, are we going to scale back Devers at all coming up the last 2 months?
Robbie's been great this year. Everything I'm hearing is he's good to go. He's healthy. Guy likes to be on the field and plan on him being out there.
Sorry, one more time. I got fat fingers.
No, everything I'm hearing is he's good to go. He's healthy. Guy likes to be on the field and plan on him being out there.
First base, it's yours for now. You know, that's another thing, too. It's like I got to figure out if he could play first base.
I have questions.
He could play first base.
Don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. It's one of the reasons why I felt like they should just push it until the offseason when they were competing, when they were going for it. But now, turns out that now might be the perfect time to see if he could play first.
Yeah, I think he's just going to be an adventure over there all year. He's learning on the fly. It doesn't look good. Like, Casey Schmidt is already a way better defensive first baseman than Devers.
Yeah.
And I don't think Casey's great either. He's learning on the fly. But I way more trust him over there than I do Devers, don't you?
Yeah. I trust Wilmer Flores more than I trust Rafael Devers at first base.
Well, Wilmer's pretty bad.
Well, he just can't move. But I know he can catch the ball. I mean, But that's kind of where they've gotten to. You know, I think the Giants the last few months are back in evaluation mode. You hope you could compete in the meantime. Like, I want them to play well. I just think that being 6 games out of the wild card specifically the Padres loaded up the way they did, even a team like the Reds bought at the deadline, you're too far out of it. And it does suck because I think that, like, I don't know if Posey could, would, or should get as aggressive as someone like AJ Preller just because they don't have the coffer to do it. But I did think that it was really interesting to see the Padres, I would say, go in more than they ever have before outside of acquiring a player like Juan Soto at the deadline. Like, they got 2 position players. They got a closer who might not even close because Suarez is still there. A starting pitcher. A catcher, and they didn't sell the 2 guys that they were rumored to maybe get off of, which was Suarez, who's an expiring contract, and Dylan Cease, who they reportedly don't want to bring back in free agency. Like, the Padres, who are a team that is probably not going to win the division, though it's within reach, they're all in. And in a way, it's like, that's kind of, that's where I've hoped that a Bay Area baseball team could get to. To the point where we're looking at a stage where, all right, they're all in, and even though they might regret that, a lot of these, they probably regret trading Mackenzie Gore, James Wood, and C.J. Abrams, who are all looking like studs and start for the Nationals. They're all in, and I have to respect that kind of approach from an aggressive team.
But right now they have, you know, I mean, you can make the argument they have 3 multi-year all-stars for the next couple of years playing every single day. center fielder, Tatis, right field, and your third baseman, Manny Machado, right? So, like, now is the time for them to go all in on that. Like, it makes sense. The Giants don't. I don't know. Like, if I were to say, name their all-star next year of their regular, of their everyday players, I don't know.
It could be one of four guys.
I mean, the best money would be on Devers, right? Right today. But even then, like, he hasn't looked like an all-star with the Giants right now.
I'm not saying they're close to what the Padres are doing, but again, like, that to me is the place I hope that Posey can one day take this organization.
But right now, in this analogy, it would be like the Niners.
Like, we're talking about did they get enough as opposed to did they give up too much?
I hear you. But I think we're at the Arizona Cardinal phase of where the Giants are, comparing themselves to what, like, the Padres are kind of in the Niners zone, where the Niners were the last few years. All in to win a Super Bowl. They're all in to try to win now. This is their core. This is their window. Whereas I don't view the Giants in that same window.
Do you think that the Giants, like, who's closer to a title, the Niners or the Giants?
Niners.
How much? Like, how far?
Well, they've got multiple Hall of Famers and Pro Bowlers. I don't know how far. Football's so weird. I don't know. I they're like one more offseason away, I think, from being right back in the mix. Or they could be one more offseason away from totally blowing everything up. Like, they go 6-11 again this year. Anything's on the table.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they're so young. And that's where
it's also football.
Like, I'm thinking about the three Bay Area teams, and I'm kind of wondering where people feel like, you know, the title hopes are for these three teams. We realized over the last 6 weeks the Giants' title hopes are dead.
They're a long way away.
But the Niners are a team that's been there recently, but is kind of rebuilding. The Warriors are far away, it appears, but they don't really have anywhere to kind of turn the clock back on, because they're not a young team. And and maybe that's why, like, I'm thinking about the all three teams, and it's like there's varying degrees of hope. And we're going to talk about the Niners coming up here in a little bit. We also got Bobby Evans coming up in about 7 minutes.
There's a trade I want to make.
A trade?
Yeah.
Yes, well. Yeah, we're going to discuss that.
Speaking of deadlines.
Yeah, that's something. Let's do that after Bobby Evans. How about that?
Because
there is a trade out there for the Niners that I think is kind of just sitting there, potentially sitting there. But we're going to break down the deadline. It really just kind of peel back the curtain of what happens at a trade deadline like the one that just transpired for the San Francisco Giants with Bobby Evans. And then Vontae Hill is going to join us at 9 o'clock live from Niners training camp, all on the River Islands guest line. You know, I'm listening again to Posey yesterday. I'm listening to Manassian, and I just get the feeling that they are a group right now that is they were forced into dealing players away. And I think it kind of cut them, because like the rest of us, they believe that this season had potential, and very quickly it spiraled out of control. You know, is that on the manager? Is that on the players? Is it on the front office for believing a little too much? You know, I heard one of my friends yesterday, Shask, and I want to throw it at you, saying maybe they were too quick on Devers, because maybe this team is far away. Like, maybe this team wasn't a Devers away and just thought it was, and now they've kind of handicapped themselves with an additional $280 million.
Well, look, the money is an element.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
And throw that to the side. They spent poor money forever. You gave him up for a guy that the Boston Red Sox already gave up in Tibbs. He got traded yesterday for a rental. Okay, that's number one. Harrison wasn't helping you. He's still in AAA. And Jordan Hicks. Like, yes, it's a significant amount of money. Won't disagree there. You do the deal all day. You basically gave up three things that aren't helping you ever.
I'm with you. I'm with you. It's time for the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, we got an update on Jawan Jennings from Kyle Shanahan, and it was not a good one. After leaving practice with a calf injury over the weekend, Shanahan said there is no timetable for Jennings' return to the field. Shanahan also confirmed that Jennings' calf injury is on the same leg that he had issues with earlier this year that cost him time in OTAs. So, not good news on the Niners front. He'll be back at practice later on. And, of course, moving towards their first preseason game just about 11 days away. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. All right, on the other side, Bobby Evans, former general manager of the San Francisco Giants, now in an advisory role with the team, joins us live on the Morning Roast. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Giddings in for Spadoni with Shasky. Back after this.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.